Please turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and as we do so, there's a number of people visiting or new this morning. I won't mention them all, but in particular, we want Phil and Jeanette Taylor, if you could just stand up. They're just here from England just for one Sunday, and we want to acknowledge them as longtime partners with us in world missions, and we're thankful for your ministry and partnership over the many years. How to live well in order to finish well. What a theme that is. My coming to church this morning, my wife was telling me she spent the last week with our grandsons, three of our grandsons in Brantford. I was up north with my brother fishing, and she mentioned how our one daughter Andrea, had bought the kids a book, How to Help Others, How to Encourage Someone. She was mentioning how amazing it is. They've learned, I don't know if some of you remember the CDs, GT and the Halo Express, a children's series where you could learn 12 verses for every disc. And so they've memorized 84 verses, and they'll sing them, and but when it comes to living it out, they're fighting each other, and they're really at each other. So it was quite an experience of how they knew the word, but when it came to putting it into practice. Well, Andrea bought this children's book for them, but hey, the book of all books on how to live well and finish well is indeed the Bible, if we can apply it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle John, the Apostle Paul is coming to the end of his life now, and ever since that day that the Lord took hold of him on that Damascus road and turned his life around from persecuting and killing Christians to being saved by the grace of God and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave it all he had. And so he's coming to the end of his life and challenging young Timothy to do the same. So he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. So there's the setting in which he challenges Timothy to give it all he's got, to live always in the presence of, recognizing we're in the presence of God, and in one day, viewing Christ's return in glory to establish his kingdom. There's a Latin phrase, coram Deo. Coram, in the presence of, and Deo, God in Latin. And there's churches called Coram Deo Church. What a great name for a church to be called Coram Deo Church. A church where God's people are always recognizing that they need to be living aware that they're in the presence of God and accountable to him, to give glory to the Lord, to submit to his authority, and to submit to the authority of God's word. And that's a great theme for Paul, for Timothy, but for each one of us as we go from day to day. I was reading a couple great books from the church library this past week. One is called Driven by Eternity by John Bevere, an evangelist. It's interesting, in some of his chapters he speaks in parables, kind of like Pilgrim's Progress allegory by John Bunyan of a few centuries ago, where different people, some are unsaved, they're appearing before the Lord, and then some who are saved are appearing before the judgment seat of Christ, because the Bible says even for Christians we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ as far as whether the nature of what works, what rewards we're going to get. If we, according to Paul, for example, if we're building on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, gold, silver, or wood, hay, stubble, it's all going to be manifest. And it's very interesting book to note. Some thought they were saved because, they did this and they did that. And others, just lived sinful lives, but came to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and were broken at the cross, and they were surprised at the grace of God. So it's an interesting book. I was also reading Clay in the Potter's Hand by Dorothy Sunn. That's another excellent book in the library to get out, where she faced, as a Chinese lady in the 1960s, actually for 20 years she was in prison by the communists for her stand for the gospel. But How to Live Well and Finish Well, you know, those are two books to try to read sometime if you have some extra time. But then to keep the Word of God as authoritative and central in your life. Paul goes on to say, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Of course, not all of us are going to be preaching on Sunday morning, but we need to preach to ourselves. I need to preach to myself and always be ready, not necessarily to be sound preachy, but to always be ready to share the gospel. That's the third point. Always be ready to share the gospel. It was just an amazing week in Northern Ontario. You know, I pray and hope for opportunities to talk to my brother, but it's as it were, the fish aren't biting. Actually, the real fish in Lake Pagamasing were biting, and we caught lots of fish. But, you know, if the fish, the people fish aren't biting, we can be fishers of men, but they're not necessarily going to bite. But the second last day I was up there, and I was walking back from picking blueberries, and there was a couple guys camped in a tent on the same site as where a fishing lodge used to be, fairly close to where our cabin is. So I was walking by the cabins to go to our cabin in the woods by the lake. And I said to the one guy, "Hi, I'm Robert Miner. My brother and I are fishing at my old parents' cabin next door." So we got into an interesting discussion. Then the other guy came along, and I was showing them my blueberries and talking about where the good fishing spots were. And the first thing the second guy said, "Oh, are you the priest or something that we've heard about over the years?" I said, "Well, I'm a Baptist pastor at Long Branch Baptist Church in Toronto." And so we got talking about what it means to be a Christian. And they were biting. They were asking question after question. And I pulled out of my knapsack a couple copies of the Gospel of John. Now, I just want to challenge you. We have a lot. We just got a new shipment in recently. Always try, when possible, to have a copy of the Gospel of John on you, wherever you go, to always be instant in season, out of season. So before I said goodbye, I said, "I have a gift for both of you if you'll receive it." And I pulled out of my knapsack, here in the wilderness, two copies of the Gospel of John, and there were horses on the front page of the Gospel of John, and it said, "God can set you free." And it was just a God thing that I had those copies of the Gospel of John and to give them. And the guy goes, "Wow, you're instant in season, out of season." I said, "Yeah, I think there's something that the Bible speaks about that." So anyway, they were mentioning how they'd run out of worms because they had no refrigeration. I said, "Well, we keep my brother bought a generator a few years ago, and so we're able to keep the worms in the fridge and they can last." So the final day when we were heading out that morning, we weren't fishing anymore. So I walked the trail with some ice on the worms that were left over to give them the worms. And they were very appreciative, but it was just another God thing. For the next half hour, they had question after question after question. One guy was a professor of science in university or whatever, and he said, I struggle with evolution and so on. And anyway, I was able to tell them the story of Nicodemus from John 3, the woman at the well in John 4. I was preaching two sermons there, and then I said, well, when it's all said and done, the main issue is what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? What are you going to do with the message of the cross? And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be instant in season to share the gospel. And it's up. I learned this. My brother, he puts his line down and he catches fish after fish. I put my line down. I wiggle the worm the same way, bite the hook, put the hook, the worm on the hook the same way. We're right beside each other, and he's catching fish after fish after fish, and I'm catching nothing. And this has happened a few years in a row. But the Lord was speaking to me. I think the Lord was speaking to me in a parable. Rejoice in your brother's success. And you might be fishing in your school or in your workplace or in your home year after year after year, and nothing seems to happen, and then someone like David and Pagua come up and share how God did a miracle in their lives, and God's using David and Ada. And did we snarl at them? No. I commend you. You were rejoicing with them. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. So the Lord's teaching me, rejoice with a brother or sister who's successful in being a fisher of men, a fisher of women, a fisher of children, even if I fish and there doesn't seem to be the results, because we're in this together, we're brothers and sisters, and to God be the glory. You know, people were praying for David and Ada, and God answered. So who did it? God did it? We all did it. We were praying, and we did it together. And so that's what the Lord's been teaching me this week. And then fourthly, keep your head in all situations. Verse 5. Keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. To keep our head in all situations means to live a spirit-controlled life where if we're angry at times, we're angry, but we don't sin. When we're frustrated, when we're struggling, we allow the Holy Spirit to control us so that we don't blow our stack or lose our top. And then fulfill all that God has called us to do. When Jesus came to the end of his life, the night before he went to the cross, he said, Father, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. That's a wonderful way for us to end, as we end well. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, you gave me some tasks to do. Whether I was saved at the age of 15 or 55 or 85, Lord, I finished the work you called me to do. And so may that be, when it's all said and done, our testimony that I finished the work, God, you gave me to do. Well, here's some challenges we face when finishing well. We're going to deal with this, Lord willing, next week, the final verses of 2 Timothy 4. But in summary, opposition, both human and satanic. Paul writes, verse 3, some people will not put up with healthy doctrine. He says, verse 10, Demas has forsaken me. Verse 16, all forsook me. Verse 17, I was delivered from the lion's mouth. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul faced opposition from people. He faced abandonment. He faced loneliness. He faced the lion of Satan. He faced loneliness. He faced feeling abandoned and discouraged. But the Lord helped him through it all. And in verses 6 to 18, finally, we have Paul's perspective on his final days. some pictures of Paul's life. First of all, verse 6, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. Paul pictures himself as a drink offering being poured out on the altar of sacrifice. In the Old Testament sacrifices, when the lamb was brought to the priest and it's burned on the altar, the burnt offering, often there would be what's called the drink offering, where the wine would be poured out on the offering. And Paul says, I'm that wine being poured out. Jesus Christ has accomplished the finished work, and I'm a living sacrifice being poured out on top of what Christ did for me. Secondly, by the way, a verse in connection with that would be Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And then another picture Paul paints, he's about to pull up anchor. Verse 6, the time for my departure is near. The time for pulling up the anchor and going from one shore to the other shore. Perhaps you've heard this poem by Henry Van Dyke at funerals, but it's applicable for all of us to think about in view of the brevity of this life and the life to come. It's called, I Am Standing Upon the Seashore. I am standing upon the seashore. A ship at my side spreads her white sails to the morning breeze and starts for the blue ocean. She is an object of beauty and strength. I stand and watch her until at length she hangs like a speck of white cloud just where the sea and sky come to mingle with each other. Then someone at my side says, there, she is gone. Gone where? Gone from my sight, that is all. She is just as large in mast and hull and spar as she was when she left my side, and she is just as able to bear her load of living freight to her destined port. Her diminished size is in me, not in her. And just at the moment when someone at my side says, there, she is gone, there are other eyes watching her coming and other voices ready to take up the glad shout. Here she comes, and that is dying. Of course, that is dying in the Lord when we go from the shore of this life to the heavenly shore, and absent from the body, Paul says, is to be present with Christ. And I was reminded of that every time I pulled up the anchor. We fishing this week. Of course, my brother runs the boat, the motor, and I have to pull up and down the anchor. Right, actually. He has me do a lot of the different things, but at least I'm learning all these skills. So if I ever go up there with some of my grandkids one year, I'll know how to do everything. But anyway, pulling up that anchor and then walking from the bridge on the Via Rail tracks, CP train tracks, 2 or 3 kilometers through a rough trail up the hills and down the hills, with all of our stuff and my flabby, muscleless arms, I thought, I'm not too long for this world as far as going to Northern Ontario. Unless I do some exercises like some of these army recruits that are disciplining their bodies so diligently, I'm not long anymore for going to Northern Ontario on these trails. So what I have to do, I have to start doing push-ups every day and exercising my arms. If I really want to go up north another year, I better get busy. Well, in the same way spiritually, if we want the best, the best rewards in glory, we better get busy, discipline ourselves in godliness. Godliness, physical training is profitable for some things, like carrying all that luggage for 3 kilometers, but godliness is profitable for all things, for eternity, for the best rewards and the greatest joys and the greatest satisfactions for all of eternity. So Paul pictures himself as a satisfied spiritual athlete. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I just think back in high school when sometimes when I ran across country race and I won, and dozens and dozens of fellow Kingsville High School students were at the end of the finish line waiting to see who was going to win. And when they saw someone from KDHS coming around the bend for the last quarter of a mile of the race, and they saw it was from someone from Kingsville High School, they're cheering, they're going crazy, and I'm giving it all I've got to beat the guy next to me and crossing the finish line, and they're cheering and they're so excited. Well, how much more when we've given it all we have for the Lord and we're crossing that finish line and the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And the great cloud of witnesses of Hebrews chapter 11 and many more through the centuries, cheering and rejoicing with me and with you because you've given it all you have for Christ. And so Paul joyfully anticipates his reward, verse 8. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. There are a number of expressions of crowns in the Bible. Some refer to the fact of we're in Christ. We have the crown of righteousness, which is Christ's righteousness imparted to us by faith. Some talk about the rewards. What is my crown of rejoicing, Paul says on that day to the Thessalonians. He says, you are my crown of rejoicing. So there's two ways of looking at these crowns. There's one of the crown that is only a gift from Christ, his righteousness, his standing, which is ours through faith in him. But there's also these crowns of different rewards that Paul is talking about. And so I'd have to do more of a study to elaborate what this particular crown is referring to, whether it's referring to his standing with Christ or his level of rewards. I think it's this particular one is referring more to his standing of righteousness through Christ. But having said that, he's writing this in the context of being the best he can be for God. He wants not just to shadow box. He wants to deal Satan a fatal blow. He wants to win the race. He wants to be the best he can be for the Lord to glorify God with a high level of rewards. So may we go and do likewise and follow the example of the Apostle Paul for his glory. To that end, Lord, we commit ourselves afresh to you. We thank you for your word, which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, if there be any here that have never put their trust in Christ, may this be the day where they begin that journey and say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. I repent. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for my sins to accomplish a righteousness that I could never attain in my own effort. I trust in him. I receive him now as my Lord and Savior. Help me to move forward now from this point and to live for you with all my heart. Thank you for hearing my prayer. And for all of us, Lord, who know you already as Savior, may this be our prayer. Lord, forgive me for not always making those choices that are best. And help me, Lord, to recognize I'm in a race that is eternally important. And help me to throw off everything that hinders and every weight that weighs me down. and to run that race with perseverance, looking unto Jesus, the author of my faith, who for the joy that was set before me endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Help me to live in that way for your glory and to honor you with all that I am and have as a living sacrifice. To that end, we commit ourselves afresh to you in Jesus' strong name. Amen.